Off the Ball, GAA.
And I always, you love young players coming through because it just gives everyone a kind of a spring in their step, and you see the future and you see there's hope there. When you have your kind of guys 29, 30, 31, it's kind of a last chance saloon, the last dance. We might win the All-Ireland this year, we have winners. When it's young players coming through, you see another 10 years of success.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The News Round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tildenafil.
Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.
How are you doing? And you're very welcome along to Tuesday evening's Off the Ball. This is the voice of Tommy Rooney you're hearing right now. You're not tuned into the football pod or Off the Ball on a Sunday evening with John Duggan, which is where you'd usually hear me. But I got the call up this evening from our producer, Arthur O'D, to set into the hot seat. Arthur, where was I on the list of presenters? You were Dion Fanning last night, because you've gone down the list to get me for Tuesday evening.
No, you picked your own night, to be fair to you. You had open. You had open. Full transparency. You had open open option there, and you picked whatever you want.
Don't be saying that now, because I've missed training this evening, so you'll get me in trouble for missing training back home in Cratlow.
That sounds like a you problem. It's fair play, though. 20 seconds in, got to mention the football pod. Always be closing, you know.
Got to be done. Got to be done. It's not just the two of us in studio. I am. And I have been. I'm a grizzled old veteran of Off the Ball. I've been here
since
the summer of 2013. I haven't done too many news rounds, but we do have a championship debutant, a news round debutant in the corner here. David Seagrave, how you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Keeping well.
I am good. I'm very, very good.
Trying to figure out the tones there. Got some Dublin tones, dulcet tones in the corner, right?
That's correct.
We usually start our news round debutants with a quiz. I'm only joking, we're not going to do it. Yeah, I'm only messing. But talk to me about your sporting credentials, David, because that matters here. And it's a loaded question, because I know all about you. You're one of the co-founders of one of the best named sporting teams in the land. Now,
absolutely.
Now defunct, but talk us through it.
Well, so obviously around COVID time, we had kind of just come out of kind of school, college, and a few of the lads that I went to school with were looking to get back into football, and we were like, yeah, could go back to the local team, yada yada yada.
Where are we? And North County Dublin?
North County Dublin, Malahide, yeah. And a few of us decided, here, we may as well set up our own team. So we ended up setting up our own team called Inter Malahide.
I love that.
Yeah.
Where are they now?
Non-existent, unfortunately. Hopefully coming back for a reunion tour next year. We'll have to wait and see on that one, but there is also Atletico Malahide, who are knocking around for a few years. That's kind of where we drew the inspiration from. So that was, we unfortunately never got our Malahide.
And what sends a club like yours into extinction, or maybe maybe not extinction? Maybe you can't bounce back. But what happened? Was it funding problems? Was it a lack of?
Mainly just having a load of lads who are either students or did shift work, because that was just what we attracted for some reason.
Yeah.
So I think we got a good 3 or 4 seasons there. Actually won a trophy in all 1 year.
Fair play.
Look at us go.
It's a great name. I do hope you get it back and get it back motoring again. There are some great names knocking about for quality sides. You had another one too. Was it, what was it, Aston?
Yeah, there was another team based out around where we were called Aston Village. I don't know if they're still going. I think they may have folded a year or two ago. I'm not 100% sure if they're still going, but they were knocking around for years.
Yeah, I played a little bit of soccer growing up. I grew up on the Cavan Mead border and played a little bit with Kingscourt in soccer, but also played at Manor Farm, who were named after a chicken factory. And we trained out in Killan, which was a parish of Shercock. And I'm not making up any of these names, but the name of the football team in Killan was AC Killan. And I always wish I played for the black and red of AC Killan.
They were black and red as well?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to have to, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Any out your way in Sligo?
There was. I'm trying to remember, and I've even tried digging in, trying messaging back. I know there was a Real Tubber.
Ooh.
Which, I don't know, yeah, it works. I don't know how it works. But none directly around us. Colliery Bohemians, Colliery Bows.
Okay.
Yeah, but nothing too
all right.
Extravagant.
Well, you can, of course, get in touch with us on YouTube.
You should, encourage you.
And WhatsApp, 087-9180-180. I was the one who secured that number for Off the Ball, so I shouldn't forget it. But
fair play.
Yeah, pretty good one. 087-9180-180. 180 180 if you want to get in touch with anything this evening. We'll be getting stuck into the newsroom in a couple of minutes with David. But yeah, GA names, like a lot of them are based on local heroes or history or you know, all that sort of things. But I had a cousin who played with the Celtic Cowboys over in Austin. Always loved that name, based in Texas, the Celtic Cowboys. That was a GA club. They still are going. And yeah, Cowboys by name, Cowboys by nature, I think they'd go by.
It's not for me to say. Right.
Maybe not. Yeah, so look, yeah, any other names, any other team names, feel free to send them in. And we'd love to see that. And I do hope you boys come back in Intermalahide. We'd love to see that again.
We did actually have a Moldova boys in our division as well.
Okay.
Which was it was just a team of lads from Moldova.
That's really interesting.
Yeah. Kind of maybe a C for creativity, I think. But
okay, yeah, but I like it. And I'd say they took it just as seriously as you did in Atletico Milan and Inter Malahide as well.
Oh, they hockeyed us every time we played against them. So listen, they had us on the pitch.
Arthur, I mentioned a newsround debutant this evening. There were a couple of championship debutants at the weekend that really lit up the GA scene. We've got a couple of good GA pieces coming up this evening on Off the Ball. Sarah Donovan and Podge Collins.
Punchy.
Yes.
Punchy combo, yeah.
Good fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's we were talking about that last night. It is while I have no issue, I don't have a fundamental issue with the split season, right? I'm not reopening that. The only slight shame is just how crowded everything is. That it was like, even on that Sunday, where I was like, my priority was Clare Waterford into Tip Cork, right? That's what I wanted to watch. But at the same time, it was like, it's tough. Like, you'd rather not have it on the exact same weekend as the Premier League's going down to the wire, and then all the rest as well. It was a massive weekend of sport, but it'll cut through. But it is a reminder of how short it all is at the same time as well. That's one weekend down.
Yeah,
like there's single digit weekends left. Like, you know,
true. I don't know what.
Now, there's we can't shield ourselves from other sports either, though. I'm like, not really litigating it.
That's never really been a big one for me when it comes to the split season debate. I don't think we've perfectly nailed the GA calendar yet. I don't think there is a way of finding perfection in the formats that we have and the amount of competitions that exist in the games. But it can be fine-tuned a little bit, but I wouldn't...
The cut-through is more so what I'm talking about. Like, I feel like after some of the performances... It's not that they're going underrepresented or under kind of appreciated or something, but I kind of feel like in a different era, if Galway had done to Kilkenny what they did to Kilkenny, for instance, it's a massive 2-3 day fallout. And maybe it is. Here we are in the shoes, they're still talking about it, but it just does feel like it's part of so much more now. There's so much going on. It'll struggle for space.
Maybe it depends on the format as well. You know, it's do or die for Waterford and Tipperary this weekend. It feels like it, certainly. You know, we were talking to Sarah Donovan about the Cork Camogie side getting knocked out in the opener in Semple Stadium at the weekend. It's knockout hurling and Camogie, and there's not many knockout championships left.
No.
Meath were knocked out of the Leinster Championship by Westmeath, and, you know, while they're not out of the All-Ireland, their summer isn't over. It's felt like a seismic enough shift as well. If Wicklow had beaten the Dubs at the weekend, you know, absolutely that would have had a bit of cut through. So I do think the Galway-Kilkenny one,
but even that,
I wasn't that surprised by that.
I know it wasn't... Even that's a great example, though, of like all things. My mind went straight there to the hurling. But you had like Wicklow, like were conceivably away from, I mean, would it have been the biggest shock of all time? Leinster Championship? Is that crazy? I can't say all time's stupid.
In the Leinster Championship, like in the last
40, 50 years, like it would have been nuts.
Yeah.
And it was on. It wasn't even a kind of a hit and run kind of job. But anyway, it's just a funny kind of thing that we're in this place now all of a sudden where Leinster Championship is... one of the most competitive things GA has to offer.
We've had a couple of team names in here, and apologies if I butcher any pronunciations, but Grasshopper Cade in Ballycastle, North Mayo, Glory Days in Eris League, 97-98 from Ray. A team in Middleton years ago, FC Porter, were black and white naturally. Fergal. Sending that one in. So I like that
Porter.
One.
FC like Porter. That, yeah,
I love that. I haven't vetted these, Ben, so I'm trusting you here. Ben Symes in the production box there sending them in to me. So my local Sunday League team were called Dynamo Rooski in Roscommon. Up the Rossies. Ross from Roscommon, living in Mayo. Bye, Ross. I'm looking forward to covering Mayo and Roscommon for Off the Ball on Sunday. And another comment in here as well. We played for Dynamo Rooski, based in Rooski Village on the Roscommon-Leitrim border, with players from both counties. Great fun, great people, and a great club. All the best from James. So a couple of comments coming in there. A couple of great names as well. So a couple of mighty names. Just on the cut-through debate there, sorry for getting distracted for a moment. And David, I don't know what you make of this as well. But like, the sport and life, obviously, the whole world has opened up with phones and social media and our access to all of these things over the last little while. We're constantly competing with other sports. I don't think we can get too bogged down in that. Maybe it's a different conversation when the World Cup final rolls around the same day as the All-Ireland Hurling Final later this year on the 19th of July, if I'm not mistaken. Like, yes, and there's a huge golf major on clashing with one of the GA games. There might be a league final clashing with the Ryder Cup by design. I'm only joking with that one. But, you know, I don't know if we can get worried about other sports. You know, like...
No, it's not worry. It's not... I'm not worried. It's just...
I think there's enough for us all to go around. Like, I love being able to flip-flop between different sports at the weekend and find your rhythm with the golf or move on to the hurling or go back to the soccer or move on to the Gaelic football. You're getting something different from them all.
Yeah, I do feel the weekend was a bit unworkable though. Sunday was unworkable.
Most of them are.
Like, yeah.
If you have a life.
Yeah, if you have a life, any sort of life.
Is that not always going to kind of be the case though when you're in the early stages? Yeah, I mean, whatever about later on. I mean, I think there's a bit more adaptability there. But I mean, when you're in the early stages, you're just going to have a heap of games regardless. That's just the nature of the sport. There's that many teams.
No, you're probably right. And it's probably like rose-tinted glasses looking back as well, as if kind of all these great days were in isolation when they obviously weren't. But... I think it's particularly a hurling thing where the next few weeks are the strongest concentration of elite hurling we have
for
the year.
For sure.
That's it. And it'll come and go really quickly. And then you'll have kind of outstanding games along the way. But it's just that it's probably, we were talking about this earlier about like for one of Waterford, Tipperary, arguably, their year's done next week. You know, barring kind of a miraculous comeback, the year's probably done. Which is just, again, I'm not saying you're given, if you lose two games in this scenario, that's it. Everyone knows the score. But it's just a shame. It's just something about it that's just like, maybe that's why it's so good. Maybe they're built in.
I was reared on those great Waterford teams in the 2000s that played with such abandon and madness and would pull off these huge results in the Munster Championship. And it struck me, I was talking to Desi Hutchinson a couple of months back when he was awarded the AIB Club Player of the Year, and he made no bones about it. He wanted the Munster Championship to go back to knock out hurling. And it struck me that he was saying it. And obviously Waterford's history with the round robin over the last couple of years, they're bottom of the pack. They haven't been that far away. Like there's been unlucky in one or two seasons, and a few others they've been kind of flushed out quite early. But, you know, that was a good Waterford team at the weekend. I backed them to put up a fair fight against Tip at home this Sunday.
Oh, geez, yeah, for sure. No question about it. But it is, at some point, you kind of have to, like, I know the clubs are different from county, but, like, it's mad you have maybe one of the greatest club sides of all time coming out from this county that can get it together in the round robin. It's just it's a mad set of circumstances, but I'm sure there's plenty of introspection going on there, because it's probably at a point now where we've had it, 18, 19, break, 2021, 22, 23, 24, 25. If they're not getting out again this year, like it's got to be an internal issue rather than, I mean, the bounds of...
You don't think there's any chance that they're going to put their hand up and request a rotation into the Leinster Hurling Championship and let Galway slip into Munster for a 3-year spell and keep Waterford and Leinster?
Yeah, I feel how you started that. You know exactly what a Munster Championship means to them.
Yeah, for sure.
And it shouldn't be. But like by the same token, if someone has to get knocked out every year.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, a couple more texts then.
Yeah, no, people love this.
Hey lads, I set up a team in Meath in the late 90s called Real Betty's Town. We lasted about 2 years and played a couple of tournaments. Highlight was getting a mention in the Drogheda Independent. Cheers, Donal. Once played a team from Bray called Brazil. Their kit was yellow tops, blue shorts and white socks. Gav, naturally, of course they were. And then Graham got in touch. Don't forget the great Brazil team. That's a cracking name. Greatest football team name ever was in the Meath District League. OMP, which stood for Orchestral Maneuvers in the Park. Wow. Not to be confused with Scout Synthpop Outfit OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark. Brian Byrne here again in, pronounce that for me, Ben, in the mic. Betsy, Spain? Okay. Hi, a wee story regarding AC Clan. I remember the Bailabra Shamrocks under 16s playing AC Clan after training one evening, and our lads bet them 11-0. Were you playing then, Tommy? Question mark. Neil Scanlon. Neil, I wasn't because I neither played for AC Calan nor Balibur Shamrocks. I just flip-flopped between Manor Farm and Kingscourt back in the day. That's it. Ben, you're coming into me. What is it? What do we got? Betchy. Thank you for fixing my pronunciations there. Betchy in Spain. David, you might give us a little bit of news that's happening tonight because I got distracted there with some of the great sporting teams that you inspired for us this evening. What's happening?
Well, starting with soccer, of course, as we're already on the subject, Chelsea will look to put an end to their Premier League losing streak this evening. They've lost four games in a row, a run of form that was interrupted by a 7-0 win over Port Vale in the FA Cup and a 3-0 loss to PSG. They've also failed to find the back of the net in any of those four league losses. And Chelsea boss Liam Rossignol admitted yesterday that he's gotten some things wrong since his switch from Strasbourg in January.
It's about being open. It's about seeing where I've made mistakes, where we've made mistakes, where we need to improve. And having open, honest, challenging conversations makes the process better. Because if you're not honest and you don't hold your hand up to mistakes, you're never going to improve. You know, I have made mistakes. I'm going to make more mistakes. Every coach does. But with the guys here, how they support me, because we all want success for the club, we can be open and honest about that. So the less mistakes, the better. To be sure, but they've supported me in many different areas, in many different ways. And I feel the players understand that we're all very aligned in terms of what we want to achieve.
Yeah, their run of form is a stark contrast to their opponents this evening, Brighton, who are unbeaten in that same stretch in the league. The Seagulls' last loss came at the beginning of last month against the current league leaders, Arsenal, and they've since picked up wins over Liverpool, Burnley and Sunderland. They were away in that Sunderland game as well. Despite that, manager Fabian Hertzler has been impressed with some of Chelsea's recent performances and thinks they'll still pose a threat.
They have an average quality to beat every team in the league. They are not on their best run, but like you mentioned, they play good football. They showed a good performance. So that's why it's very important for us to keep doing the basic things right, to keep doing the things on the highest level, on the highest standards, because I think this will be the main bit against Chelsea. We have to play intense again. You have to play with a lot of power, with a lot of energy if you want to compete with them. And then on top of that, you need to stick to our style of play. And that's what we want to do, sticking to our principles, sticking to our style of play. And then we also have a big belief that we can beat them, although we know that they have a lot of individual quality and showed like good performances recently.
Also, just a quick look at last night's action as well. Wolves were condemned to championship football without even kicking a ball. West Ham's nil-all draw with Crystal Palace means that they're now officially unable to get out of the bottom three. They're 16 points behind the Hammers, who sit in 17th, with just five games left to play. The result wasn't ideal for West Ham either, with just 2 points between them and Tottenham in 18th. And a win last night could have stretched that out to 4 points, leaving them with a valuable cushion heading into the tail end of the season.
It's getting interesting, isn't it?
Which part?
The whole relegation battle. We got Kevin Caban coming up later on. I'm looking forward to chatting to him about it and picking his brains. Obviously, I've been involved in a couple of relegation battles themselves over the years, so he'll know all about the psychology of it.
No shame in him. I do feel having the Spurs element is definitely intensifying it.
Did you mean Spursy there, or did you?
No. The Spurs element. No. I'm not sure if I'd be as concerned if it was West Ham, Forest and AN other, do you know? But it is great. No disrespect, Ben, obviously. But it is interesting.
He meant absolute.
Because
disrespect there, Ben.
Because yeah. I think no disrespect to Eve on this one, but I think everyone wants to see just what'll happen if Spurs go down and the general furore of something that was just kind of, they were in the Champions League final like 7 years ago, 2019, wasn't it? I mean, that's kind of nothing as well compared to the situation with Leicester. We're kind of seemingly on the precipice going into League One.
Mm. But that can happen.
Yeah, I just don't think anyone thought it would happen to Spurs.
Mm.
I really don't.
There is also something slightly funny in a way of them having like the world's or one of the world's most expensive stadiums and going to be playing championship football and bringing the likes of Stevenage to it next
season. Yeah, I guess they'll still make some money, but I guess Beyonce won't care if they're in the championship, but facilities will be the same. But I do get you, yeah, it is. It'll be interesting, because I know they're kind of notorious as well for having fairly expensive tickets. You've been there, haven't you?
I actually was, yeah. I was in London with my partner, Schieffer, a couple of years back. And
yeah, I remember you were one of the first people you know to go.
Yeah, we were just said, oh, we'll try and get a match in this evening. So we went looking and tickets were available for Spurs and Norwich at the time.
Oh.
Jose Mourinho was the Spurs boss, and Troy Parrott actually come off the bench that afternoon for Spurs in one of his only appearances as senior football. So I think it was a 1-1 draw. Timo Pukki scored. I think so, I could be wrong. But it was a lovely stadium. Class. Beautiful bar, class. Beautiful seats. You know, I sit beside. I remember having a couple of nice conversations that evening. It was a very pleasant experience. It wasn't really overly what I expected. But I was at a West Ham Manchester United game a couple of months ago too, and Ben, a very pleasant experience again. Like, I thought there'd be a bit more fierce and ferocious. I know Ben can't talk or talk here, but I was expecting a bit more of an atmosphere. But maybe that's just changed with these stadiums. And I think maybe have these clubs lost a little bit by moving away from, you know, the great old grounds that we had in English football for so long?
Possibly. Like, I was there, funnily enough, this season at the Spurs, my United game, the one that finished 2-2. There was already, I think there was still well in the Frank era. It's kind of, the writing was a little bit on the wall where it was like, this is not going well. Even though they got a good draw, they probably should have won. And I do remember the atmosphere for the goals, obviously, was good. But other than that, like, it was a weary bunch. Like, it was definitely a kind of a, what's happening here? What's actually happening here?
Yeah. It's going to be a really interesting couple of weeks. And the manner in which they handle it all is going to be so interesting. David, take it away.
Well, Rodri will remain on the sidelines for Man City's game with Burnley tomorrow night. The 2024 Ballon d'Or winner picked up a knock in their 2-1 win over Arsenal, which left them in prime position for a return to the top of the Premier League table. A win would see them go top on either goals scored or goal difference, with the gap between them and the Gunners currently just 3 points. And the news will come as a big blow ahead of that tie, with Rodri also a doubt for their FA Cup semi-final with Southampton. Manager Pep Guardiola has called on some of the other squad members to step up.
The success of the team to be belongs... A huge, massive part is depends of the players that you have. You don't have injuries, you are at disposal mentally, they are in the right spot. Always you can compete.
Just on a separate note there as well, Guardiola also failed to provide any clarity on the future of John Stones. He, of course, has been linked with a move away from the club, with his contract set to expire at the end of the season. Elsewhere at the other end of the table, Nottingham Forest have also been dealt with some bad news on the injury front. Callum Hudson-Odoi has been ruled out for the rest of the season. He was forced off in their 1-0 win over Porto last week and then missed the side's 4-0 win over Burnley at the weekend. The club has since confirmed this afternoon that he's torn his right quad and has had surgery as a result, and it means he'll remain sidelined until at least their pre-season period ahead of next season.
Ooh. Yeah, that's a big blow. They had a big win at the weekend, obviously, but that's a big blow.
What?
Yeah, it's nasty.
I feel that.
That is nasty. Ireland have made a move in the Women's World Rankings too.
Yes, so they have moved up to 23rd in the Women's World Rankings. They moved up 4 places after their back-to-back wins over Poland in the World Cup qualification campaign. Leaves them just shy, 1 spot shy of their highest ever ranking, which was 22nd out of the World Cup in 2023. They've also left themselves in a good spot ahead of their final 2 games with France and the Netherlands, who they lost to in their opening 2 games in the group. And just looking at some of their group mates, Poland have slipped to 28th, the Netherlands have moved up 1 place to 10th, and France remain in 7th. England, meanwhile, have moved into the top 3, while Germany have slipped down to 4th. Spain remain 1st, and the USA are just behind them in 2nd.
Yeah, final 1-0 win on Saturday. I was watching some of the commentary, Os Gaeilge from Cartok Ban Bronach, of Denise O'Sullivan's lovely touch over a Polish defender as she rattled the crossbar at the weekend. Netherlands game is a couple of weeks away as well. A step in the right direction, obviously, over, you know, over the last couple of weeks for the women's national team.
That's huge back-to-back wins. Massive. It's just, it's funny because even watching the first two, that they'd been really kind of impressive performances, but just like teams that are slightly classier than you, kind of have just that little bit of X factor. Just be able to ring off 2 wins away from home, like I just from looking in from the outside in, like without maybe the same sort of knowledge you'd have of the men's team's equivalent, but like I just don't see any way where that's not an incredibly impressive thing to do, the way they did it as well, even in Poland, like where there was a couple of setbacks along the way and the penalty miss, but just kind of really, it's the type of stuff I love to see in teams, you know, where it's just kind of that, it's not even relentlessness, it's just a ruthlessness.
Yeah.
That it's just like getting a job done.
There's a grittiness there as
love
well.
Love that. I love it.
I think after losing the opening 2 games as well, you kind of run the risk of what happened at the start of the Kenny era as well, where, you know, you can see the performance is there, but there's just, you know, you get those 2 losses, it just knocks the confidence a little bit, and then it kind of threads through the rest of your campaign. That hasn't really happened here, which is obviously huge.
Yeah.
Putting it to bed. Like,
that has to grow in a group. You can't that doesn't just appear in a group. So that's no, that's brilliant. A little bit of rugby news too. We've a couple minutes left here, David, so you might just rattle through that.
Yeah, so Ulster have been hit with some fairly bad injuries over for this weekend. They'll be without 12 players. Angus Bell, Scott Wilson, Tom O'Toole, James Hume, Jude Postlethwaite and Bryn Ward were all injured in their loss to Leinster last Friday. Nick Timoney, James McNabney, Rob Herring, Robert Balakoon, Rory Maguire, Stuart Moore were all already on that list and they'll remain sidelined as well. There is some good news. Michael Lowry could be set for a return. He's in contention to play this weekend after a return to team training and a decision will be made later this week.
Yeah, that's a lot of rugby news as well. That's knocking about at the minute, isn't it? It's been a busy week. Back of the window here as well. Resignations at Munster continue over the Randall hiring as well. So it's a busy time in Irish rugby.
Yeah, and we there'll be no rugby tonight, but we had a great piece last night with Dion and Brendan Fanning, no relation, digging into the, I suppose, the rise and fall of Munster. It's an incredibly challenging time for the province and on and off the pitch.
Yeah, I'd recommend listening back to that. Brilliant piece. There's snooker too, David.
Yes, so Ronnie O'Sullivan has gotten his campaign underway as he launches his bid for an eighth world title at the Crucible. He is up against He Guoqiang, where he leads 7-2 at the halfway stage. He stormed into an early lead with a break of 113 to win the first four frames before the interval, or that's the first session interval. The match is now wrapped up for today and will resume tomorrow. And if he does get the job done, it'll set up a showdown with four-time world champion John Higgins. Elsewhere, Mark Allen will face 2024 champion Kyron Wilson. He avoided a scare against 19-year-old Stan Moody, who led 6-3 at one point and looked as though he'd become the first team to win at the World Championships in over 30 years. However, a late charge saw him close out the game 10 frames to 7. Judd Trump also holds a narrow lead over Gary Wilson at 5-4, while Sean Murphy has the same advantage over Fan Zheng Yi heading into their restarts. Those two games are back underway at the moment for the evening session.
I only caught glimpses of it across the afternoon, but it's just class having it on in the office. There's a new big TV over by the off-the-ball desks here in Marconi House. The whole place has got a beautiful revamp in the last little while, and the snooker was just playing in the background all afternoon.
Do you be a big snooker man?
I used to be when I was a kid. I used to love watching it. Used to be obsessed, but kind of, not that I fell out of love with it, but it kind of just went off Broadway for me a little bit. And I think golf has kind of filled that void for me in the last little while. I love watching golf.
Watching golf,
regular week to week golf.
I have just got obsessed with golf in the last couple of years. Playing it, I'm terrible, but I'm on a journey. But also watching it, I find it so interesting to watch and actually relaxing to watch as a sporting event.
Big thing for the GA correspondents, isn't it? You and Morris Brosnan. Two golfmen, an interesting one. Golfman,
well, yeah. Morris is taking it to another level altogether. I see he's a piece there on the contradictions of Rory McIlroy after spending a bit of time following him around Augusta, which, what a dream that must have been. But yeah, I've always loved watching golf. I think there's just something so...
Are you invested in it though? Do you care who wins?
Yeah.
Whatever championship there is in Phoenix.
You learn different... Yeah. It's like any sport, I suppose. You learn different... traits and the storylines that are tipping away. I actually I was away last week and I made my way through Alan Shipnuck's book on McIlroy.
He was on last week.
Yeah, no, really,
fair play, tuning in.
Really interesting read. Sorry about that. I was away. I should have tuned in, but really interesting read. But it's a slow burner obviously over a couple of days, but I just enjoy watching golf.
I agree with you on the relaxing part as well. There's just something like, there's something so soothing about the commentary and then just a few seconds of silence and then just a...
Yeah.
See, I'll turn on the baseball.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Say that again. You'll turn what?
I'll turn on the baseball. Huh?
Would you?
Yeah.
That's your slow burner.
Yeah.
Say baseball.
Yeah. I'm no fan. I basically don't know what's going on a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But it's if you're talking about that, but it's not. I would never make the crossover now to be actively interested in seeking out. It's like, oh, how did the Reds get on tonight?
I get you.
Maybe it's
fulfilling the same purpose.
Interesting.
Yeah. Give it a go. Obviously, the Masters are a different gravy, and obviously, there's been a lot of change in the sport with Liv, but we'll see where that all goes. A couple of more teams that have been coming in, David. We have a team here near Bandon and Cork called, after a townland in our area named Mossgrove. The team is called Spartak Mossgrove Dixie. I love that. And a brilliant club name, Ratminds Roosters soccer team set up by a descendant of Kerry GA royalty. So plenty of stories there. Thanks for delivering the news round this afternoon. Arthur O'Dea, thanks for joining us. The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect. 50 milligram film coated tablets contains sildenafil. For adult men with erectile dysfunction, maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie, subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation. It is time for the cash machine, and after that, we will have an interview with Mayo coach Paddy Halley.
The news round is brought to you by Viagra Connect 50 milligram film coated tablets. Contains sildenafil for adult men with erectile dysfunction. Maximum dosage 150 milligram tablet per day. Always read the label. Buy online at viagraconnect.ie. Subject to suitability following pharmacist consultation.